Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Welcome to the Uncontested Podcast, talking Oklahoma City Thunder basketball and the wider NBA.
Sam Presti said, lower the hatch, load up the cannon, and get the tank out rolling.
Catch new episodes after each Thunder game and every Sunday night.
This is a house of learning doctors.
Follow the Uncontested on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube to catch new content as it drops.
I mean, a cat and a dog connected together?
This is Lou Dort. You're listening to the Uncontested.
What is up? Welcome to the Uncontested Podcast. We are proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. We are live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. A little bit earlier show today, 4 p.m. Central Time on Sunday. It's currently the third quarter of the Dallas versus Los Angeles Clippers game. So even though when people listen to the podcast version of this, that game will already be completed. I'm sure Taylor and I will have some reactions on this podcast as we go through.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of, I've got Taylor Peterson along with me today.
How's it going?
I am doing well. I am Jacob Good. Biffin. I'm your host for the day. Our other three co-hosts, Kamiar Morabian, recently wed and now on his honeymoon. Nick Crane, prepping to go to Costa Rica. Justin Peabody, without internet in Dallas, Texas.
His house got fried by
apparently
lightning.
So.
It's crazy.
So it is the two-man game, the pick and roll, the pick and pop with Taylor and Jacob today.
Luca and THJ.
The comparisons
go on.
We're not going to say who's Luca and who's THJ though.
Yeah, that's fair.
We'll leave that up to the listeners' imaginations. Taylor, a lot has happened in the NBA since we last recorded. LeBron Indeed. Is out of the first round for the first time in his NBA life. We have Philly down 1-0 in their series. James Harden questionable for the rest of the series. Lots of stuff going on.
Yep.
But let's start off with some Thunder talk, Taylor. Obviously, not a lot going on in Thunderland right now as we anxiously await the June 22nd NBA draft lottery. That's going to be the pivotal thing for the Oklahoma City Thunder. But I wanted to talk a little bit about how what we're seeing currently in the playoffs affects the trajectory and the team building aspect of the Oklahoma City Thunder. So we've watched and are currently watching the very last game of round one of the NBA playoffs this year. So Taylor, I want to ask you, has anything from the playoffs changed your thoughts on how the Thunder should roster build and how they should flesh out the rest of the team?
That's a really good question. And I like this exercise a lot. I wish I probably had more time to go back through it all and actually, like, you know, do like an ESPN Brian Windhorst podcast where, you know, Bontemps is going in, like, deep diving and pulling all these stats from each series. But without doing that, just from the games that I've gotten to watch and observe, there obviously are a lot of things that have stood out to me that that we'll kind of get into in terms of themes and player types. But in the sense of your first question, you know, like you said, have the playoffs changed your thoughts at all on how OKC should roster build moving forward? Not necessarily, but only because I think St. Presti's on the right track. And what I mean by that is the kind of players, a positionless basketball that he is kind of wanting, the roster he's wanting to construct, but also the kind of basketball I think that him and Daigneault are wanting the Thunder to play moving forward, I think is really important and something that I think could really work well for a team in the playoffs against, you know, somebody competing against some of these teams that we've seen so far. For example, I think of a team like the New York Knicks, who had some creators. Unfortunately, the creator really was Derrick Rose, but we saw what Julius Randle was able to do the entire season, but he wasn't really able to do that in the playoffs when he was being defended the way that the Hawks were defending him because he didn't have shooters and got knockdown shots from outside to open up the for him. So in a case like the Thunder, where you have Shea, who is, don't get me wrong, we've talked about his step back three, his unassisted three-point numbers here over a recent podcast, but as a player who thrives in the paint as much as he does and finishing around the rim, having guys like the Pokus and the Dorts, if he can keep it up, you know, the guys that Presti is trying to bring in around Shea to open up the floor for him, I think is really important. And I think the only other thing, well, and I'll say this for the next question, I guess, because that probably goes better with the next question. But obviously, Presti is trying to get top talent as well at this point. And not just bringing in random guys. Like, he's not just looking for the Gabriel Dex and guys overseas. He very much has his eyes set on the top of this upcoming draft.
Definitely. I think for me, Taylor, the theme, and there's some exceptions to this rule for sure. Like Nikola Jokic is just kind of an exception to everything, right? But what we're seeing in the first round, Donovan Mitchell, Ja Morant, Devin Booker, Trae Young, the two wings for the Clippers.
Mainly Kawhi, if we're being completely honest. Yeah. That's not like a diss at PG as much as it is just how great Kawhi's been and how PG struggled.
Luka. What all those guys have in common is they are ball-dominant wing players who have the ball in their hand, who create for others, and who can create shots for themselves.
Exactly.
Kind of jack of all trades, do it all kind of guys.
But mainly, especially in the playoffs, like you said, they can create shots for themselves. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is a huge aspect.
You got to be able to break down a defense. Yeah.
This year in the playoffs.
I think the Thunder have one of those guys in Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. The worry is, and maybe it's not a worry, maybe that's the wrong word, but I think a lot of NBA fans see what Luka's doing, see what Trey's doing, see what Devin's doing, see what Mitchell's doing, and say, oh, those guys have made a leap and Shea hasn't. And it's just Shea's missing the opportunity in the playoffs. But like you mentioned just a second ago, Taylor, Shea is a downhill, get in the paint, live in the paint kind of player who's going to need like shooters and stuff around him. I don't know. It makes me specifically like look at this upcoming draft, and if the Thunder do land one of those top five picks, I haven't been traditionally high on Jalen Green in the draft.
Yes.
What I'm seeing in the playoffs starts to change my mind a little bit. You know, a guy that just can absolutely elite athlete who can create his own shot. I see some Devin Booker in Jalen Green. The problem is I also see some Jamal Crawford and Jalen Green, but guys like that, you know, and so that kind of starts to make me look at things a little bit differently. But I think the way the Thunder roster is starting to flesh out, has some of those aspects that you want. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, Taylor, but I see Ty Jerome a little bit of the role that like Campaign is currently playing for the Phoenix Suns.
That's great, which is actually super ironic considering that Cameron Payne, not in the same trade obviously, but Cameron Payne played for OKC there for a while, obviously went through his struggles and then ultimately has come out on the other end and really a huge contributor for the Suns team, but also obviously Ty Jerome started his career in Phoenix and now is on the Thunder roster. Again, maybe not in terms of style and play, but in terms of role on the team, I think that's pretty spot on. I like that a lot. Speaking of a guy like needing guys who bucket getters in the playoffs, Ty Jerome one. And like you said, that's kind of what Cameron Payne has become, obviously playing the point guard, backup point guard role as well. But Ty Jerome can be that guy. Like we saw this season, being able to pull up from basically wherever, get you like a THJ kind of role. Like I kind of joked about at the beginning of the podcast, I'm with you on Ty Jerome. I like that a lot. And I'm really kind of curious to watch his development.
Yeah. Not to get us too off track here, but I think Ty Jerome is like one of the players on this Thunder roster that could be very impactful that we just don't talk about a lot. A lot of people don't really talk about him. It's hard to measure what he did because he did it for a clearly tanking team, right? Somebody's got to score points, but the style of his game, his confidence, his ability to pass the ball, we talked about it a lot.
And the talent he was doing it against, right? Like the other opposing teams. Yeah.
Yeah. We talked about it a lot during the season. The kid just got sauce.
Yep.
Right. Like he feels himself every time he's on the court. And like that confidence, go ask Terrence Ferguson. That confidence is everything, man. I low-key kind of think that Ty Jerome is going to be a pretty important piece of this team. And by important, I mean like sixth man.
I was going to say
bench player, 18 minutes a night kind of guy.
Right.
And but like you have to fill your roster with those kind of guys. And that was part of the Chris Paul trade, you know. And if you're starting to fill the roster with those types of guys, then that's good news, you know.
Right. So, and I think, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, so we've kind of talked about like what type of player you need as far as like building out your team for the playoffs. But what about some of the other players that we're seeing in the playoffs, like role players? What are you kind of seeing? I mean, we know the Thunder need to get, flesh out with just better talent, but what specifically do you think they need? Do they need like a pick and roll partner for Shea? Do they need a defensive minded big? Do they need a replacement? Like what are you seeing in the playoffs right now from role players that you think are important for the Thunder to kind of target during the rebuild?
So that's interesting. And that's kind of tough for me right now, because like I said, the way that Pressey is building this roster is very much positionless oriented in a sense. In terms of role players, but you obviously need maybe a defense-minded big isn't. Like we've seen, you can throw smaller players onto some of these guys like Joel Embiid or Jokic and have some success. And like you said, like those guys don't. It's not like you can just say, okay, well, go get Evan Mobley, and you have your Jokic / your Embiid. It doesn't work that way. So I understand that, but at the same time, that Thunder obviously do need some size, especially at the center position. We talked about Moses Brown not being it. I think what we've seen is something that's interesting to me. The positionless basketball obviously is a huge theme, like we keep talking about in the playoffs, but it's not so much. And, you know, that kind of started with the small ball five of the Warriors, many other teams, the Rockets. We don't really see that as much anymore. It's more so versatile bigs who can do a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's something that Pressey is going to be targeting in the draft. I'm not saying if he has number two that he necessarily may draft Evan Mobley, but I think at some point in the draft, we're going to see him. Like, for example, I think it was Kevin O'Connor in the Ringer's latest mock draft had the Thunder taking a kind of an undeveloped, untapped, but very athletic, versatile big from Kentucky. I'm going blank on his name.
Isaiah Robinson.
So I think that's it. All that to say, I think that's one area they're certainly going to focus on. Isaiah Jackson. Good call. I do like their wings, but like you said, you need a wing scorer on this team. At Poku, seriously, like not even joking, he could eventually develop into that guy. But even then, like, Poku's such a unicorn. I really like the idea, like you said, a player of like a Jalen Green caliber, just a score, another score alongside Shea. Like I said, I think that's something that we've seen a lot of in these playoff series is guys who can go and get their own shots, guys who can just bucket getters. I think that's really important. And we're going to need another playmaker scorer alongside Shea. And I think that could do a lot for this team moving forward.
I think that's fair. Obviously, the Thunder need to upgrade at a big man, right? Moses Brown ain't it.
Right.
God bless his soul. He ain't
and
it.
Even from a, like you said, playoff-specific perspective, they need a big man.
Yeah. And I mean, you look at the big men that are left in the playoffs, right? You have a guy that I think has really started to flourish now in the playoffs in DeAndre Ayton. You'd hope so. He's a number one overall pick. But I think Ayton's been incredible these playoffs. You have Rudy Gobert. You have Nikola Jokic. You have Joel Embiid. You have Clint Capella. You know, you have these kind of dominant big men.
And, Collins, and basically, right?
Yeah, you need, I think, more of a versatile type of big man, like you mentioned. But then as far as the complementary players, I feel like, and we're going to get into this in a second, but I feel like you need high IQ players, right? Mm, you need guys that it's not just go stand in the corner and when I pass it to you, you catch and shoot. You need guys that can make that extra pass, guys that can be a secondary creator, guys that can cut off ball, I think is very important. We've seen that in a handful of these playoff games where, you know, a double comes to Devin Booker. He swings it to the open guy who takes one dribble and then makes the extra pass for the dunk. You need high IQ players that are willing to operate within a system and cut off ball and just understand the game. And Taylor, that leads to my next thing, which is Presti starting, from what we've seen so far, is he starting to zig more towards skill, shooting, and fit over traditionally what we've seen from him in the idea of like athleticism and size?
Yeah. So we've talked about this not as directly as this, but we've mentioned it in the past on some of our previous podcasts. I'm kind of under the impression this is always the way that Presti kind of wanted to build a team. These are always kind of the guys that Presti wanted to target. Obviously, it's a little more extreme now just with the way that the direction of the league is moving in. But when you had Russell Westbrook and it was cemented that you're going to be building around him, I think that's – and Kevin Durant, right? Like, he kind of had that versatile player. And Kevin Durant, alongside a guy like Russ, he wanted guys who could run the floor with those two, who could defend any position alongside those two, right? Well, that's why we saw the Dres and the Fergusons and even the Hamidou Diallos. I almost wonder if that was why – and again, Troy Weaver probably had some saying into that as well. But I like to think that that was a lot more so building around that specific era of the Thunder, being Russ and some KD – compared to this, which I kind of think is the way that Presti maybe wanted to build a team, at least from scratch, all along. And a guy like Shea as your first core building block. And then obviously you have Lou as well. And some of the, I don't want to say smaller building blocks, but compared to Shea, smaller building blocks, right? I think this is kind of the perfect opportunity for him to begin to do so. But with all that being said, I do think he's taking it to a little more of an extreme just with the way that the league is moving, and he kind of sees this as the answer to what he's seeing from these other teams, like we said, who are contending for a championship right now.
Yeah, no, I think you hit the nail on the head there. I don't think Presti wanted to build wanted isn't the right word. The cards he was dealt with Russ, KD, and then like Harden, Ibaka, dictated where you go from there,
right?
What type of players you go for at that point, right? It's not like he was like, oh, that's I want to build a team of only athletic wings who can't shoot and can defend, right? But it was like, this is going to be like a bad analogy, but it's like in poker, you don't want like a 10 of hearts. But if you already have an ace of hearts and a king of hearts, now I kind of do want that 10 of hearts, right? The 10 of hearts isn't a great card, but with what I already have, that's the thing that makes the most sense, right? And so this is a different team. It is a different puzzle. And so you need different pieces to go in it. And I think we're going to start seeing Presti target different types of piece. I think we already have the Poku pick, the Vic Krejci pick, getting guys like Ty Jerome, like we mentioned earlier, things like that, you know, that those types of players are very not what Presti has gone for in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very interesting. So Taylor, to kind of put a bow on this conversation here, the Thunder are going to get these players that they need to make the playoff push and the players they need to succeed in playoff series in the draft. So coming up June 22nd, we have the NBA draft lottery. Which players from, you know, obviously that top five, but then even looking at just the lottery itself, the top 14, which players do you see that really add to this Thunder team to what they already have and can be those types of guys in a playoff series that can really do that for you?
Yeah. And I, just really quick, I think you bring up a really good point. If, when we're comparing that last era of the Thunder, Presti had the building, like the core pieces first and then tried to build around the team. Where this time around, yes, you have Shea, but it's more so you kind of have some of these other pieces in place first. Now you're going after those building blocks. And that's kind of what we're getting at here, right? The first guy, obviously, just kind of going through the list and scrolling down through prospects ranked. I mean, obviously, Jalen Green is somebody that I've talked about on the podcast. You just mentioned him. I think you were spot on there. Just a super interesting prospect. I want to see... gosh, dang it. So I sent you guys this scouting report that I found was great. And of course, when I pull it up here on Google Docs, it doesn't have this person's name. I feel terrible. So what I will do is I will go back and I retweeted it earlier in the week, but I'll quote tweet it and mention this scouting report after the podcast on Twitter. What's that?
It's on Jalen Green.
Yes, on Jalen Green. I thought a really, really good job. He's actually the same guy who did a scouting report about Poku that I read last year. Actually, I think before... the Thunder were rumored to be like really linked to him. Anyways, all that to say, Jalen Green's a really interesting prospect just because of his, there's a lot of untapped potential there, but just so much skill. Obviously a great scoring. He's well, not really a wing, a shooting guard, 6'5", 165 pounds. I think he can play some small forward too, though. I understand he'd be a little undersized there, but I think he could do it. Obviously shooting guard is going to be primarily his position, but just a, kind of a microwave score. His jump shot, his form needs a little bit of work, but the fact that he's already shooting like he is, I think is really impressive. The other thing is just his explosiveness, just the fast twitch athleticism,
yeah,
blowing by defenders. Also, and you mentioned IQ, very high IQ, especially on the offensive end of the floor, because you're already seeing him doing things that remind me kind of like of Dre, right? That some of the things that he would do. Dre wasn't a great shooter, but he was able to space the floor out and guard bring in defenders because of his ability to cut off the ball. It's things like that that Jalen Green does that really impress me. Also, his vision, he forces passes. He sometimes isn't quite able to get the ball to his teammates, but overall, he has some really good IQ in that sense as well. Is able to find teammates and create for teammates, and just his footwork is just like, I don't want to say Luka-esque or James Harden-esque, but he is able to create a lot of separation there. Some other guys I've talked a lot about. Where is it? The kid from Australia, Giddy.
Josh Giddy. Yeah,
I like Giddy a lot just because, again, versatility. He's not going to be your guy though. I think that you put along Shea, and he's able to, you know, go for, you know, 20 to 40 points a game. And I'm not sure he's the missing piece to get the Thunder back into playoff, even championship contention. Like maybe at one of those top five guys is. He's another guy that really interests me though as well. And then I'll probably let you touch on this guy a little more because I know you and Nick have talked a lot about him, but I'm with you both in terms of Scotty Barnes. Talk about a versatile player. I think you mentioned him or compared him to kind of like a Draymond Green type. Obviously, a little bit of a different build, but in terms of style of play, I like that a lot too, and would just fit so well with this offense. Then obviously you have guys like Zaire Williams, and who I think is kind of an untapped scorer, and Book Knight, who we've talked a lot about. I really like James Book Knight.
I'm big kind of Book Knight.
Yeah,
Book Knight.
Okay, you picked him.
Book Knight has some jaw on him.
Crawford. You mentioned Crawford. I like that.
Jamal Crawford. I saw a Jordan Clarkson comp.
That's interesting.
Obviously, you hope he's got a little bit higher ceiling than that. But
CJ McCollum.
CJ is actually a pretty good comp too, but more athletic. A more athletic
right,
CJ.
Right.
He's fun. You know, I think anybody in that top five, Scotty Barnes, I think is the ultimate role player slash defender, a guy that you really like that can switch a lot. So there's a lot of really interesting pieces that the Thunder could add in this draft. And I think they probably see it that way as well. And so my prediction is that we're going to see a pretty aggressive Thunder team on draft night.
I agree with that completely.
Trying to trade up, trying to get their guys type of thing. Speaking of, after the draft lottery happens, we are going to shift over very heavily to draft prospect analysis. We have some really awesome guests lined up. We have some... Taylor, we've made a whole damn spreadsheet of possible guests based off where the Thunder's picks are on people we could interview about different players and stuff. But I think this draft is a place where you can definitely get somebody that kind of fits what the Thunder need to do. And so I'm excited to
see
how that all pans out.
Right? Also, when you guys were doing it, was either last week's or a couple weeks ago, you, Kamiar, and Justin did a recap of Presti's draft history. And one common theme I think we saw was Presti always being aggressive and trying to trade up if he could, or at least rumors of him trying to trade up. So especially something I've been thinking about, like obviously perfect case scenario, you get a one top five pick and then you get Houston's pick at number five. You have two top five picks in this situation. Not even that, like trying to trade up. I think more so like if the Thunder land one of the top five picks, or even if God forbid they don't land a top five pick and they're like 6 and 18 or one top five pick and pick 18, I could totally see them packaging pick 18, which from the Miami Heat, and packaging that with a future first or whatever it may be to try and move up back into like right after the lottery, that 14 to like 13 to 14 range. Mm-hmm. And targeting that next piece after drafting earlier on in the draft.
Definitely. And, you know, we can all have favorites in that top five or top four. But really, at the end of the day, I think any of those guys fit with what OKC wants to do. And so there's, I don't know, it's going to be a very important building part for the Thunder. Presti said it a lot in his exit interview. You can't control where those picks land. You can only control what you do with the outcome, right? And they're going to do their best. But I have very high hopes for the draft, Taylor. I agree.
Really just ready for June 22nd to come here, lottery night, just to see where the Thunder are going to be.
Same. So I'm not ready for the stress of that day, but I am ready to know. I am ready to have that information so we can move forward. We have a couple of comments and questions in the chat, Taylor, if you want to run us through those real quick before we talk some playoff basketball.
So Matt Clarkson asked us, Marcus Smart possibly on the market. Does Presti make an offer?
Ooh, that's interesting. I tend to say no. I think you have a guy that's already like Marcus Smart and Lu Dort. I think that's kind of redundant with all the guards that they do have. I think the Thunder are more likely, and I don't think this is likely either, but I think they're more likely to get in on like taking on Kemba Walker for multiple picks rather than try to get Marcus Smart. I think Marcus Smart is more of a fit for like
Dallas.
Dallas is a good one. Atlanta is a good one. Portland is kind of a sneaky good one.
Yep.
So definitely. I don't see the Thunder as a Marcus Smart. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I think that's pretty spot on. Like we talked about, it's kind of funny in the sense that Presti has a lot of these, like, I don't want to say Marcus Smart type players, but role players in place already, where what we need first before anything else is trying to get that next piece alongside Shea, the next building block from there. And once you see those guys develop and, you know, how well they're playing, you decide it's time to start trying to build a championship contender. That's when you start going after not Marcus Smart type players, but like role players of that caliber.
Yes. Agreed.
So Silver, this is not a question, but a statement that I think we can touch on. It's pretty interesting. He mentions Presti being a hot name for GM spots still.
Yeah. I know that, you know, there's a little bit of like, will Portland make a move? I think if Presti didn't go to Boston, I don't see him going anywhere else.
Agree completely.
We touched on this. You touched on this more than I did because I just hopped off for a few minutes on locker room on Wednesday night, this past Wednesday night. The current state of the Thunder, yes, they're in a rebuild, but this is kind of like the ideal position a GM wants to be in. Expectations are low. You're armed to the teeth with assets and draft picks to get to really build the team in your vision. You have ownership that trusts you and doesn't tell you what to do and doesn't give you mandates, as far as we know. It's a really good position. Whereas, so let's say Portland does fire their GM. What is attractive of going to Portland right now? A completely capped out team that hasn't made it out of the first round except because 1 year out of like, the past Kidd five.
Took himself out of consideration for the head coach.
Exactly.
Position.
You know, there is nothing attractive about like being the GM of Portland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's you're walking into a jail cell with your hands tied. So
it's looking gross out my window. Speaking of the Thunder, when they have some storms.
Yeah, it was it rained down here just a little bit ago too.
Ooh, might be coming my way. No, I think you're spot on there. Again, I think it's very telling that Presti. I think the Celtics very much put feelers out again. If Presti would have communicated through other channels that he would be potentially interested, even just a little bit of even just hearing the Celtics sales pitch, they would have made that phone call, but they never did because I think Presti very much said, no, I mean, like you've talked about so much, Jacob, I'm in the perfect position and situation here.
And you already did the hard work. You already traded all the bad stuff. You traded away everybody. This is the part where you get to, you tore down the sandcastle that somebody or that you built and that wasn't a good sandcastle. And now you have a blank canvas and you get to do whatever you want with it, right? That's what you sign up for.
Exactly. So this isn't so much a question as much as I just wanted to shout this listener out. Arvin Soldad off of Facebook said, finally got to catch you guys live. Thunder up. So appreciate you tuning in, Arvin. Today.
Arvin hitting the chat if you are from outside the U.S. and that's why you're getting to watch us today because it's earlier in the day wherever you are. I'd be interested to know that.
Very true. Also, got to shout out all the parents out there. He has a picture. His profile picture is of a baby. So he could just be putting babies down to sleep.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Silver also asks, center or big?
That's kind of the same thing, right? But I think Silver was more commenting on whenever we were saying, what does the Thunder need to push forward? Gotcha.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Yeah. Hey, give me Evan Mobley.
I guess center or big's kind of the same.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Arvin said 1 a.m. in Qatar.
Wow, that's awesome. Shout out.
Very cool.
Good stuff. He has a couple good questions in here we'll get through. But first, Thunderbeard, is 5 the lowest that Houston can get? I actually don't know this, Jacob.
That is correct. Know? Yes.
Okay.
The lowest pick Houston can get is 5. They have a 48% chance of not getting in the lottery, and the lottery selects the teams that pick 1 through 4. So if they don't get their lottery ball picked, it automatically drops to 5, which is obviously what the Thunder want. There's a 48% chance of that happening. That's why we wanted Houston to have the worst record in the league and not like the third worst record.
Right.
If they have the third worst record, they would still have a 48% chance of not getting their ping pong ball selected in the lottery. But instead of it automatically dropping to 5, it could have been 5, 6, or 7. And you don't want that. You want the lowest place they can get to be 5.
With almost 50-50 odds. Absolutely. Exactly. I'm with you. So this is just kind of a short question. And then there's two more here that are pretty good. We'll spend the rest of our time on. But Arvin asked, will you guys have a live stream during the draft lottery?
Ooh, Taylor, I don't think we've discussed this yet. I know we are definitely doing an immediately after the lottery show. Maybe we'll go live on Locker Room or do a live stream for the lottery. My worry is, like, what if Taylor's ESPN is
a little quicker
than my stream? So Taylor's like, we got pick number 3. And I'm sitting over here like, I wonder who got pick number 6, right? So that would be a little
fair
awkward.
Point.
We're going to figure it out there, but we definitely want to do something where we can have all of our listeners kind of engaging with us as soon as the lottery is over.
Just go live as soon as the pick's announced. That'd be fun.
So we're going to figure that out for sure, though. Yeah.
Last year. Yeah, I like that. So here's a fun one from Silver. He asks, is Presti going to be more aggressive this draft than in the past? And I think he's getting at the fact that we mentioned, you know, this obviously this draft being a very, very talented draft, top heavy or not top heavy.
So
at the top.
Yeah, I think it's hard to answer this because we don't know what Presti has or hasn't done in the past as far as like what fell through. I think he is always very aggressive on draft night. Remember a couple of years ago, Taylor, the year that they eventually traded Russ and PG, a friend of the pod and guest of the pod, Jake Fisher, had tweeted out that the Thunder were shopping Steven Adams ahead of that draft. And we were like, oh God, what are they doing?
Right.
I think there's a lot of that. A lot of times, I think Presti is very aggressive on draft night. He understands that's his best time for team building purposes. He's armed to the teeth. This is maybe the time to cash in, right? Depending on what happens with those Clippers picks, which that game looks to be over now, Taylor. Dallas is down 17 with 8 minutes to go. I think that one's in the bag, unfortunately. But yeah, those Clippers picks are valuable. If that Houston pick, I've said this over and over again, if that Houston pick drops to 5 and the Thunder get it, I think those future Houston picks become even more valuable because Houston's going to be in an even longer rebuild. And it's going to take them longer for those picks to really work themselves like out of value. So yeah, I expect him to be very aggressive on draft night.
I agree with you. I think that's good. And then Arvin asked, would you include Lou Dort if teams ahead of the Thunder in the lottery ask for him?
Oh, Taylor, what do you think on this one?
Obviously, like with everything, it's never black and white. Mm-hmm. So if you're outside of the top five, you're at like 6-18, like I mentioned, and a team asks for pick 6 and Lou to get you like the number two pick in the draft, I personally would heavily have to consider that.
Oh, see, to me, that's a no brainer.
Yeah, right.
If you call and say 6 and Lou for 2 or 3,
you done got deal. Right. Because Lou's not, he's never going to be a potential, what Jalen Green could be or what Mobley could be. So, yeah, I think in that case, yes. But like if the Thunder are at 5 and somebody asks for Lou and pick 5 for like pick 3 or pick 4, pick 3's, and that's the other interesting part. I think there's a big enough, I don't know if gap's the right term, but like you might still consider that pick 3, where I don't think you do consider that pick 4. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. Yeah. I think there's definitely scenarios. I don't get me. I mean, I got Lou Dort right here, right? I mean, I am one of the fathers of the Lou Tang clan, you know? I do not.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top 3 things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want Lou Dort to get traded off this team. I would go to war for Lou Dort.
Yep.
But when it comes to roster building, I mean, you are looking to upgrade. And as much as we love Lou Dort, at some point you have to upgrade. Again, though, I said this, I think, on a locker room a few weeks ago. I'm going to reiterate it again here. You ready for this hot take?
Ready.
Lou Dort is a rich man's Dylan Brooks.
Ooh, yeah. I like that. I like that a lot.
He's a rich man, Dylan Brooks.
I like that a whole lot.
All right, Taylor. Hey, thank you to everybody in the chat. Thanks for hopping on, for asking questions. We appreciate it. Keep it up. Taylor, you ready to go on a trip around the association?
Let's do it.
Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions. And now they want to help you even more. With a Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot and your Instant Karma cash will be added back to your spend account.
Open your FDIC insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. And when you make a purchase between June 8th and June 30th, you'll automatically be entered to win $1 million. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply.
I don't even know where you're sitting at.
All right, Taylor, we've mentioned it a little bit earlier, but I wanted to talk about some of the fallout from the playoffs. Specifically today, I'm going to talk some Portland Trailblazers. Blazers losing six to Denver, who was down arguably two of their best players whenever Portland was fully healthy, resulting in the immediate mutual parting of the Trailblazers organization and their head coach, Terry Stotts. What other changes do you think headed towards the Portland Trailblazers? We had those interesting comments from both Nurkic and Dame after game six. Dame with the cryptic Nipsey Hussle Instagram post, how long should I stay dedicated? And then we had Nurkic saying, my contract's non-guaranteed. I don't even know if I'll be back. Mm-hmm. I'll let my agent, Rich Paul, nice name drop there, buddy. Take care of that. This isn't the right situation currently, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
What's the next shoe to fall, Taylor?
That's what's interesting. This is kind of funny to your point. When you go on to tradenba.com, the first three of the top five players being traded right now, they're trending Dame at one, CJ at two, Nurkic at three. So yeah, makes sense. I think the first thing to happen is a coaching situation and the coaching hire before they do anything too drastic. Obviously, there's all those rumors. A very interesting week in terms of Portland's coaching situation. It got announced Thursday night, something like that.
Friday night that he got fired, yeah.
That he got fired, and all the rumors come out. And then, Woj has sources that the Michigan head coach currently, I think his last name's Howard. Jeff Van Gundy was an interesting one. Chauncey Billups. And then, why am I going blank on the Rockets' old head coach?
Mike D'Antoni
as names that would be considered. But then there's a lot of talk about Jason Kidd. Even before that, I think Mark Stein came out and said that should Stotts be fired, Kidd would be a candidate for.
Yeah, and as you mentioned earlier in the show, Kidd has already come out publicly and said, right, I'm not a candidate. I'm not doing it.
Interesting part about that is the fact that, obviously Chris Haynes, I don't want to say his career really got a big kickstart by this, but during his time covering Portland, when his career really grew, he got really close with Dame Lillard. So Dame reaches out to him directly and says, I want Jason Kidd as a head coach. I'm also kind of cool with Chauncey Billups. That'd be interesting, whatever. And then Kidd comes out and says, I'm not doing that. So a lot of interesting things there. I think the first thing that has to happen is it's getting that head coach, the right head coach there. Chauncey Billups is an interesting candidate. A lot of interesting candidates for that position.
Hey, you know what else is interesting is the past few times there's been an opening, most recently in Minnesota, Dame has been very outspoken. Why isn't anybody hiring David Vanterpool? Why isn't anybody hiring David Vanterpool?
That's a good point.
Now his team has an opening and the assistant coach on his team is David Vanterpool. And who is he not lobbying for?
Right.
So he wants David Vanterpool on other teams, but not his own team.
Yeah, right.
Interesting.
That's interesting. But
not insinuating anything there. Maybe he thinks David Vanterpool would be better on a rebuilding team. Maybe he wants David Vanterpool to get a head coaching job so he'll be out of Portland. I don't know. It's just
interesting. Something to monitor. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good point. But also there was talks like not only will Dame have a huge – there's reports that not only will Dame have a huge – voice in terms of hiring the next head coach, but also reconstructing the team around him. So if Dame gives the thumbs up that, like, look, I love CJ, I wanted to win with CJ McCollum, but it's not going to happen, they could ship off of CJ and try and do something drastic and bring somebody big time in. Stephen A said, oh, I'm getting texts about Karl Anthony Towns. Not going to happen.
Yeah, but get out of here with that bullshit, yeah, right, man.
Exactly, exactly. But the next unhappy star, or when, I mean, DeMar DeRozan, somebody like that, I don't know. Regardless, I think there will be some major shakeups in terms of...
No chance the shakeup is Dame leaving Portland, right?
No, I don't think
so. After everything that Dame has said, like,
right,
you know, making fun of Paul George and all of that, there's no way he asked for a trade out. That would be the most hypocritical thing he could do, and I don't see him being that kind of guy. I
agree completely. But at a certain point, and this is probably much further down the road, do the Trailblazers become forced to have to consider that?
Yeah, it's not a team choice. It's a front office choice. Yeah,
right.
I think CJ will be heavily shopped this summer. You can slide Norm Powell into that position.
Agreed.
Next to Dame. The thing is, I don't know what you get for CJ.
Mm-hmm.
He's not an all-star. You're not getting an all-star back for him. It's a rough one.
That's tough.
It is a rough one. And so it's going to be interesting to see kind of how all of that plays out. Are there any CJ or Nurk trades that immediately jump out to you that are interesting, that are fun?
Oh, man. I haven't constructed any, but we can go through the good old NBA trade machine that people have already have done.
There you go.
If there's anything too realistic.
What teams does CJ make sense on?
Ooh, I mean, he's kind of the kind of guy that really any contender.
Yeah.
But like, honestly, like the Lakers make a lot of sense, although
there's no way
really make it happen. Exactly.
Dallas is an interesting one to me.
That's a good one. I like that a lot. Dallas.
What about New Orleans?
Sixers, New Orleans. I kind of thought about New Orleans.
The Sixers is a really good one. I think.
Miami.
Maybe a little
redundant in terms of positions with Jimmy and CJ, but I think they could play well together.
They re-signed Vic.
True. Yeah, they would have to do that if they didn't. It'd be like maybe a sign trade with Vic, sending him out. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Here's one that I haven't even really looked at this. Celtics. Oh, it failed. So never mind.
Celtics are interesting when CJ is kind of what the Celtics need.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good point. That he would be fun alongside Brown and Tatum. That's another interesting name. So yeah, I think there'll be a lot of interested teams. Like you said, it's just a matter of what return can they get.
Definitely.
Them being the Blazers.
Exactly. All right, Taylor, let's move on to second round predictions. Just you and I making predictions here, but let's see what we can come up with. First one, out east, Nets versus Bucks. Game one already in the books, going to the Nets. Although Harden has been ruled out for game two, how do you see the rest of this series going? Who wins it and how many games?
I think the Nets ultimately end up winning it just because Kevin Durant and Kyrie are so good. Assuming everybody stays healthy from this point forward outside of Harden, I would say Nets in six. I think that's probably fair.
I don't want to put too much stock in a game one. The Bucks did not shoot well. I think they got to be better defensively. I think they can. Our friends at the Eurostep podcast, Ty Windish and Rohan Kadi, I don't know how they don't pull their hair out watching Coach Bud play Giannis for like 30 minutes in a playoff game. It's the damn playoffs. Play Giannis 45 minutes. What are you doing?
Exactly.
I would be breaking stuff in my home if this was the Thunder and they were playing Cade Cunningham and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander 30 minutes in a playoff game.
No kidding.
I would be punching stuff. Ultimately, I think I have to agree with you. I think I'm going to go Nets 7.
Okay.
But I think I have to go Nets. Next one out east, Taylor, already a game in the books as well. 76ers versus Hawks. Hawks out to a surprising massive lead in this game. And then
just kind of
came down to the wire. Actually,
Sixers come back, and then the Hawks just completely blew up. I mean, that was wild.
Yes.
Then you think they finally get back together. That ridiculous, like, dagger of an alley oop from basically half court, right inside half court. Trey lobs one up to John Collins, who just smashes one over James Embiid or Joel Embiid. And yeah, and then all hell breaks loose and they couldn't break the press. And, you know, anyways, all that to say, I still think the 76ers win this game, mainly because Joel Embiid looked really good, even battling a little bit of an injury, not even a little bit, a pretty serious injury. He looked great today. So I'm going to say 76ers get it together. As fun as the Hawks have been, just more experience there. I think the 76ers win it in seven. Let's say okay. Seven.
See, I'll flip-flop you on this one. I'll go 76ers in six.
Six. Gotcha. Yeah.
76ers in six. Fair. Let's jump out west to the series that's already set in stone. We have the Phoenix Suns versus the Denver Nuggets.
This is like, honestly, everybody's talking about Bucks and Nets. And don't get me wrong, I'm excited about that series also. And like, I get it. But I'm like, honestly, equally excited. Like, the basketball nerd in me is equally excited for this series. Suns versus Nuggets is going to be a brawl. It's going to go to seven games. Obviously,
Hell's
going to play. I think so. I think so. Just because I think Jokic is that good, even with injuries to basically all of the Nuggets guards. And if MPJ can continue to play well, I think that they can do it. But I think I'm going to go Suns in seven. I think they just have more talent right now and a better all-around team.
Yeah. Mildly hot take here. I think Denver is going to struggle with Phoenix's backcourt more than they struggled with Portland's backcourt, because I think Phoenix's backcourt rotation is just better.
Yeah.
Is that fair? Is that hot?
And deeper. Yeah.
I think the rotation is better.
Not too. Yeah.
I
think that's fair.
Chris, Book, Cam, I think those guys are going to really show out. It's going to be a challenge for those Denver guards. Hopefully Denver gets Will Barton back. I think Ayton defensively will match up better with Jokic than Nurk did.
Yep, I agree with that for sure. You know,
Mikal Bridges guarding Michael Porter Jr. I think this is going to be a really fun series. It's hard to bet against Denver. I think Denver's really, really good. I'm going to go Suns and six.
Okay, yep.
Suns and six. Taylor, our last one, looking like it's going to be the Utah Jazz versus the Los Angeles Clippers, as the Clippers are up 14 with 3 minutes to go. What are your thoughts on this one?
This is another incredibly tough one. The Jazz have the depth and the pieces around, like Dame and Gobert. But obviously, like we've seen with this past series.
You mean Mitchell and Gobert?
Or Mitchell, yeah. Sorry.
Not Dame and Gobert.
Dame and Gobert, goodness. Hey, there you go. There's a Dame trade for you. with Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. But then on the other end, we like we saw with this past series, even with their backs against the wall, you can't bet against playoff Kawhi Leonard. So this is another game I think that probably goes to seven, just based off the talent and skill alone that's going to be displayed in that game. My mind's telling me Jazz in seven, but my heart's telling me Clippers in seven. So let's go Clips in seven. I think that's going to be kind of unpopular.
Okay. Here's my wild one. You ready?
Yep.
I've got Utah in five.
I was going to Jazz in five when you said that. I was going to say Jazz
in five. Utah in five. Here's the thing. Clippers versus the Mavs. Two big things jump out to me. Number one, the Mavs had Luka and no help. Utah all season has been very democratic in spreading the ball out, spreading the wealth out.
Yep.
I think that's going to pay dividends. You know, I'm assuming they're going to put Kawhi or PG on Donovan Mitchell. That means you have a chance to let somebody else cook. The second thing is the Mavs had no rim protection and the Clippers lived driving to the basket after those first two games. As much as I dislike Rudy Gobert, best rim protector in the game.
Yep.
Those Clippers drives and layups at the basket are not going to be there. Rudy is going to shut off the paint as much as he can. And make life much more difficult. Like take today, for instance, the Mavs Clippers game seven. The Mavs got it down to seven with 2 minutes to go.
Oh wow.
The Mavs let the Clippers shoot 65% in the first half. That's not happening against the Jazz. The Jazz are too good defensively. I think Utah just matches up way better with them, especially defensively. So I'm taking Utah in five.
I like that. Interesting.
So, All right, Taylor. Any more thoughts before we get out of here for today? I know a little bit of a shorter episode, just a two-man show here. And it's hard because there's not a lot of Thunder content currently to go around. But any other thoughts or feelings before we log off?
Luke is incredible. Kind of sucks we don't get to continue to watch him at this point, at least it seems.
Totally agree. Luca is incredible. You know who else is incredible? Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's just not getting the opportunity in the playoffs.
You miss him.
All right. Well, hey, thank you guys so much for joining us for an early stream today. We will be back with you again tomorrow, Monday, on the Locker Room app. Nick Crane should be hosting that one live. Wednesday, we will be doing on Locker Room and dropping it as a podcast, our player grades for the shooting guards. Friday, another Locker Room hangout. And then next Sunday, another live stream pod, 9 p.m. Central Time. So make sure you come and hang out and join us. Have a great beginning of your week. Enjoy the playoffs, and we will talk to you soon. And as always, Thunder up.
As a parent, no 2 days are ever the same. At Care.com, you can find trusted and flexible sitters to help manage your family's ever-changing schedule. Care.com can even help you out with housekeepers, dog walkers, senior caregivers, and more. So you can find care for all you love. And 100% of caregivers who use Care.com have been background checked with CareCheck, a key first step in hiring confidently. To get the help you need to make it all work, sign up now and find a great sitter at Care.com.